Off they set along the left-hand bank. But first, each pressed his tongue between his teeth to blow a signal to their leader. And he had made a trumpet of his
Is it bad that now I'm very interested in reading Dante's Inferno?
You should be.
Oh my God.
Anyone who's never read Dante's Inferno should definitely pick this up. They want to be God.
Welcome to Splanknicks, the Society for the Preservation of Literature, the Arts, Numinosity, Culture, Humor, Nerdiness, Inspiration, Creativity, and Storytelling.
So, Hannah, I have been conducting what I would call a light study of Dante's Divine Comedy.
That is light?
Yes. The reason it's light is because I'm reading the book in only two translations with only three commentaries to accompany me.
Oh my goodness.
But I'm not reading every single note, but I have to tell you, Hannah, I have never read Divine Comedy or the Divine Comedy before. I've heard a lot about it, though, and I love it. I'm really enjoying it. A note to any reader or any listener who's out there who's considering ever reading the Divine Comedy, absolutely, read it. But I'm going to recommend a couple of translations and a couple of commentaries. Absolutely read it with a commentary of some kind or take a class, because a lot of it is not quite understandable. Although it's pretty darn clear from the passage I just read what...
Yeah, I mean, I understood that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And that, Hannah, I thought we could talk about our... That, when I read this, that's Canto 21. And it's the... Which circle of hell is that? That's circle 8. Circle 8 of hell, which is divided, subdivided, further subdivided into a number of circular ditches called the Malabulges, which means the evil ditches, basically. And this Canto 21 is one of those evil ditches. It's my favorite canto so far.
Okay.
And I love it. Here's how Dorothy Sayers translates that same line.
Okay. Is she a little bit more tasteful?
She is more tasteful. She says, "He promptly made a bugle of his breech."
Oh.
That's how she says it. And there's another translation that talks about him making a trumpet out of his arse.
Okay.
In other words, okay, this is so funny because what this is, who's doing that is this is a company of devils.
Right.
And it's hilarious because these are your quintessential stereotypical devils with wings and carrying pitchforks. And they've got this little company, there's like 12 of them at the end of this canto. We'll talk about what the canto itself is about in just a second. But they're Dante and Virgil are going to go to the next circle, the next ditch in the Malabulge. And these demons are like, well, we'll go with you. We'll help you get over because the bridges are broken.
Mm-hmm.
And Virgil's like, okay. And so this cracks me up. So here's this leader of the devils. He's like, come on, men, let's go. And all the devils go, yes, sir. And they all respond with their little farting noises. So he announces the mustering of this company of devils with a massive fart.
Yeah.
And they all go marching off, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I read this, I was just like, this is the funniest thing I've ever heard of.
Yep. Yeah. It's like, all right, everyone, follow me. And he just lets it rip.
Yeah. And what's so great about this, too, is Hannah.
A truly epic fart.
Oh, my gosh, yes. And it's an infernal epic fart.
Oh, my goodness.
All right, but what this circle
set
of hell
a torch
is,
to
this
it.
Is so, this is so fitting. And in the next canto, all of these devils have these ridiculous names. Like, I think Dorothy Sayers' translations are the best because she translates them into English. I think. Let me see. Oh, yeah. Like, Grabber Snitch.
Mm-hmm.
Rubicant. Let's see. What's another one's name? Hang on. Dragonel, I think. Yeah, Dragonel. Where are they all? Yeah, Grabber Snitch is funny. Hang on. They might be in the previous canto. Oh, yeah, here we go. Scaramellion. Hacklespur, Helkin, Lippicock, Guttlehog, Grabbersnitch. You know, I mean, these names are funny. Yeah.
That kind of reminds me of these characters in Icelandic folklore called the Yule Lads.
Yeah.
They basically, they cause all sorts of trouble and pranks and things. Mm. And so every night, starting on December 12th, one Yule Lad will visit the home of every child. And they've got they do bad things to you if you've misbehaved. And the Yule Lads are very not subtle in expressing their disapproval, and they'll fill your shoe with rotting potatoes. This is according to IcelandWonder.com.
Oh my god, that's great.
But would you like to hear the names of some of these Yule Lads?
I would love it, yeah.
Okay, the first one is, I'll try and read some of their Icelandic names as well.
Okay.
Stekkjastar, Sheepcoat Clod. He tries to suckle the ewes in the farmer's sheep shed, and it's hard for him because his legs are stiff as wood. Then there's Gullygawk. He likes to hide in gullies for a chance to sneak into the barn and slurp the foam off the fresh milk. There's Stubby, or Stoofer, I think is how you pronounce it.
Mm-hmm.
He snatches bits of food left over from the frying pan. There is Spoon Licker, and I'll give you three guesses about what he does. Pot Scraper, Bowl Licker, Door Slammer, Skyr Gobbler. He's obsessed with Skyr, an Icelandic dairy product similar to yogurt. So, Yogurt Gobbler.
Yogurt Gobbler.
Sausage Swiper. Window Peeper. The voyeur of the family. And Doorway Sniffer. Meat Hook. And Candle Beggar.
Those are great.
I know.
Wow.
I think that their mother is like a witch or something. And she has her own...
Yeah, like a hag, like an Icelandic hag.
Yeah, like an Icelandic hag. Yeah. She has her own horrible traditions around Christmas time as well. Like, I think... Oh, she's the one who, if you're bad, if a child is bad, she'll take out your organs and stuff you full of garbage.
Oh, good lord. That sounds like something out of Dante, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yes, here it is.
Yeah.
They are the sons of a hideous troll named Grilla. She has an appetite for flesh, and she likes to put them into a large pot and make it into stew. Doesn't say anything about garbage, but I'm pretty sure that that's what they do as well. Also, look at the picture they have of the Yule Lads, like four of them.
They look like parodies of like Santa Claus and gnomes altogether.
Yeah. I think that's Pot Licker right there, because he's got a pot. And
so
what's
these guys,
his name?
So great, hilarious names for a band of ridiculous characters. That's really good.
Yeah.
But that's what this band of devils is. And in Canto 21, in this eighth circle, and this Malebolge, this ditch within the eighth circle, is where the barriters are.
Okay.
Okay, now, do you know what a barriter is? And what barritry is?
Let me think about this from what I know of words.
I don't think you'll get it. It's not obvious.
I don't know.
It's the crime that Dante was accused of that caused him to be exiled from Florence. So he is he's at his most cutting and viciously sarcastic in this circle. It's so great.
Uh-huh.
What a barriter is, barritry is what we today would call political graft. The people being punished in this circle of hell are corrupt politicians, you know, elected officials and political operatives. And what graft is where you use your position in the government to grant favors to yourself and your families and your friends.
Mm-hmm.
We might call it influence peddling also. These are men and women who are in positions of the government, and they're like, hey, you want your industry to receive a direct legislative benefit? All you have to do is make a substantial donation to my reelection campaign, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Or, hey, you know, my brother he needs a job, so I'm going to set him on the board of this company. And in exchange for that, I'm going to make sure that this company gets a lot of regulatory support from the government. Okay? Mm. This is this kind of thing.
Okay, so, yeah. So influence peddling, yeah.
Influence peddling, corrupt politicians. And so I think it's so fitting that these people, you know, oh, senator, and oh, your lordship, you know, your lordship of parliament, oh, it's a magistrate, you mm-hmm. know, these people who are so high and mighty and they take themselves so damn seriously. Mm-hmm. Everyone's got to, you know, be respectful of them because you never know if they're going to, you know, come after you with some bad legislation or mm-hmm. or you're going to be obsequious yeah. to them, hoping
you gotta,
to get
you gotta
political
be,
favors.
Yeah, you got to be sycophantic. Yeah,
exactly. But these guys are being sort of shepherded, if you will, or anti-shepherded by this band of goons. Mm. These ridiculous figures who are like a parody of parodies, and what they are is the this circle in which the barristers are punished. Mm. It's boiling pitch, and they're submerged in it. And if they show even their nose, these pitchfork wielding devils on the end will poke them and poke them down like they're meat in a fondue.
Uh-huh.
Or they just grab them with their grappling hooks and string them up and like rip pieces off of them. And it's like, and so it's so fitting because like a lot of Dante's punishments, it's fitting to the crime because what is barratry and graft but something that goes on underneath the slimy surface,
mm-hmm.
like in the dark. Mm. So these guys, oh yeah, you wanted to enrich yourselves and operate all your little, you know, schemes using your political influence
mm-hmm.
to benefit yourself and your friends and your relatives. Okay, well, you're going to spend all eternity under the dark, never being afraid forever mm-hmm. to show even your backside, mm-hmm. which one guy does in here, and he gets skewered. Mm-hmm. So this is my favorite so far. I just mm-hmm. love this. Is just so it's a very poetically amazing retributive mm. punishment to these stinking corrupt politicians, you know.
Yeah. Which one is the one where they're submerged in? It's kind of similar. They're submerged in boiling blood.
Yeah.
What's the crime of those? That's like murderers or something.
Those are
right?
like those are the crimes of wrath, I believe.
Oh.
One of the good things about Dorothy Sayers' translations. It's not so much the translation itself. That's a little hard to understand. Which is the one that you read in high school.
Yep.
Very difficult to understand. But her notes, like she explains all the images. And she just says, here we go. The sand, the violence. And she's got these great diagrams of hell in here also. The map of hell.
A diagram. I love a good diagram.
Give me a diagram.
A diagram of the optimum route through hell.
The optimum route to the center of hell.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, here we go. So here's the sins of the wolf. Okay, so that's nether hell, like lower hell, circles 8 and beyond. So the previous one where they're boiling in blood. Is that your favorite one, the one where they're boiling in blood?
It was when I read it in high school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good one. Let me see. The sand is the violence against nature.
Mm-hmm.
They're just not boiling. Here we go, the red rivulet and the dike.
Oh, is that a note I made?
The three rivers.
Oh,
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, it's fun to read your little notes in here. The wood of the violent. Phlegethon, right? The river of blood.
Yeah.
Phlegethon. Canto 12?
Yeah.
This one? Is that the one?
Yeah.
What's going on in Canto 12? Let me see. Let me look in my notes.
I saw a river curving full and broad, arcwise, as though the whole plain's girth embracing, just as my guide had told me on the road. And twixt the bank it came centaurs racing by one and one, their bows and quivers bearing, as when through the woods of the world they went a-chasing. They checked their flight to watch us downward faring, and three of the band wheeled out and stood a row, their bows and chosen arrows first preparing. Skip ahead, skip ahead, skip ahead. Then I saw some. Plunged, eyebrow deep they stood, and the great centaur said to me, "Behold, tyrants who gave themselves to ravin and blood. Here they bewail oppressions manifold. Alexander's here, Dionysus too, whose brute fury long years vexed Sicily uncontrolled. That forehead there with locks as black as soot is Azzolino, and that fair-haired one, Obizo d'Est, he whose light was put out up above there by his stepson's son." What?
So that's the boiling blood.
Yeah,
so
thus shallow and shallower still the red blood poured, till it was only deep enough to cook the feet, and here it was we passed the ford.
Yeah, and my commentary says theirs is a sort of rule by force and intimidation, a hellish image of the rule the tyrants exercise on Earth. The tyrants are getting a taste of their own medicine. Yeah.
Oh, this is interesting. A little note that I made on this one line. Oh, blind, oh, rash, and wicked lust of spoil that drives our short life with so keen a goad and steeps our life eternal in such broil. And little 16-year-old me has written, in bloodlust we do not see our mortality or the punishment after.
Wow, well said. Well said. Very good. Very good. So
I'm trying to remember if that was me or something that I read somewhere. Like, am I smart or did I just...
No, you're smart. Okay. You wrote a paper when you were studying Dante that I thought was really impressive, where you sort of created a scene where Virgil and Dante had a conversation with somebody else in that circle.
Oh.
And it was really good.
Mm.
So, yeah. So
I remember that.
Anyone who is considering reading this, okay, I've got the Robert Hollander and Gene Hollander translation. It's very good.
Mm.
I find the Dorothy Sayers edition very good for the notes. Not as much for the translation, although I've been reading it a little bit, and sometimes it's pretty good. It's pretty funny. There's another translation by somebody called Mark Musa, which is supposed to be a very good translation. Mm. And then finally, a translation by Anthony Esselin is said to be quite good and very readable. And then one of the guides that I'm using is called Spiritual Direction from Dante, Avoiding the Inferno, and it's written by Paul Pearson. So I'd highly recommend that. Gotten a lot out of reading this and underlining that.
And you'll include all of these in the show notes, yeah?
Sure will. Sure will. Yeah, yeah. For sure. So that was good. Yeah, I love this. It seems like it might be a tough read, but no, you can read it. If you've got a good translation that's been, you know, well translated into understandable English, plus you have a guide of some kind to explain all of the references, because Dante like names, like real historical personages appear in hell.
Mm.
And also he makes a lot of references to classical works of literature and mythology that are helpful to know.